For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're tracking Jaden's participation, he won't practice today. He'll continue, get all the meetings and our individual stuff to go through that, and but he'll get the treatment today, and then he'll continue to progress, you know, through today and tomorrow, and I'll update you guys after Friday's practice, and we'll kind of go from there.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That's Dan Quinn.
Yes.
He is the head coach of your Washington Commanders.
Talking about Jaden Daniels.
He's talking about
We'll find out maybe later today.
Rookie quarterback.
Maybe we'll find out later today.
Yeah, I would imagine if he's unable to go, they're going to try to have him go. If he's only limited or unable to go, if he's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They could scratch him. They could. They could scratch him on a Friday.
They could.
I doubt that they will.
I doubt they will.
I'm not sure he's going to play. Let me ask you this. So Dan Quinn is a guy that I think we both respect. Head coach with experience, led the Falcons to the Super Bowl, famously lost that Super Bowl 28-3, but we'll not quibble about that.
Hmm.
Isn't it interesting, or is it just me? I look at this matchup and I think the Bears and the Commanders. The Commanders have three things that could have very conceivably been Bears things.
Okay.
The head coach, the play caller, and the quarterback.
Okay.
Dan Quinn, finalist for the job that Matt Eberflus got. Cliff Kingsbury, interviewed for the job that Shane Waldron was given and hired for. Jaden Daniels, drafted just after Caleb Williams. Something that seemed very obvious to me, but not to everybody. Who's got the better triumvirate, if you will? Who's got the better coach, play caller, quarterback situation now and moving forward? Bears or the Commanders?
That's a really, really good question. And I don't believe you can make you can conclude anything at this point. I don't. I think that it's an excellent question, and it is one that will be determined moving forward.
It's a fair comparison, though, isn't it?
Well, you got the defensive-minded head coach.
Same idea, same profile.
You've got the offensive coordinator brought in from another place where you're getting a guy that is in charge of his own fiefdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a quarterback taken in this year's draft, either one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you would presume that the first choice is the best choice, but that's not necessarily the case. I think the Bears should be really happy about Caleb Williams. I think he's done pretty much what we thought he would do. And I think as you heard many people say this week, including Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to be the man for a long time.
I agree with that. And I think, not to be a revisionist historian, but you go back to the draft, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a bigger consensus that Caleb Williams was going to be the number one overall pick than there was that Jaden Daniels would be the number two. Drake May was still in that contention for being a guy that the Commanders considered but moved away from. Drake May, who the Bears will see in a couple weeks, presumably starting for the New England Patriots when they come to Soldier Field. So I think that when you talk about Caleb Williams decisively being the number one overall pick, that to me, and it seems almost absurd to say, but that was the thing that you kind of counted on, that you knew the most going into the season, that when we're comparing these three things between these two teams, Caleb Williams would have a better career than Jaden Daniels. I wasn't sure about Kingsbury versus Waldron. I think you could make the argument. Kingsbury, former head coach, great offensive mind. And I go back to when they hired Matt Eberflus. I did not understand why they moved away from Dan Quinn. I thought he was a guy that made a lot of sense for this Bears regime because of his charisma, because of his experience, and because of how badly, if you remember, he wanted the job.
I agree with you about Quinn, and I thought that Shane Waldron might have been the better selection over Kingsbury, just because he was out there a little bit and it was a little bit different.
Personality too.
Yeah, and I
seemed like a better personality fit.
And they kept saying that, you know, he was versatile and he could do different things. And I think it meant they would have more say as to what he did. yeah. I have a friend, and we've talked about this before, who is a really good personnel guy and was convinced that Jaden Daniels was the better quarterback. I liked Caleb Williams. I'm not sure you can go wrong with the Heisman Trophy winner from a couple years ago or the Heisman Trophy most recent winner. I don't think that I felt that Caleb Williams was the guy. And if Caleb Williams had come out with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, he'd have been the guy taken that year too. So I felt pretty strongly
that's a fair point.
About Caleb Williams being the presumptive first overall pick. The Bears, though, never seemed to consider anything else. And I think they did all their research and they did their deep dive, and they were more concerned about finding out what they could about Caleb. And when they did, I mean, you know what's amazing?
They fell in love with the idea. They fell for him and his personality.
And all the people that talk about him, like there were people observing from a distance. They're like, yeah, that's the guy with the fingernail polish and he's going to be really weird. And I think that all has been proven to be utterly false.
He's the anti-diva.
He's totally, yeah. Listen to what he says.
Nothing that his reputation suggested that was unfounded and unfair.
Right.
I wonder this too, stylistically, I wonder if subconsciously the Bears, or maybe some people in Chicago, many of us, speaking for present company in this studio here, we love the idea of Caleb Williams before they drafted Caleb Williams, and the idea of going to Jaden Daniels might have been something we resisted. And I wonder because, another running quarterback who might be able to throw.
Because of who was here before.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Justin Fields fatigue was heavy. And I wonder if they were ready for a change in approach and style, and also somebody whose arm talent was special. And then the other things turned out to be. But we knew what Caleb Williams could do as a thrower, and that was exciting early on. And then we learned a lot of other things about him. I just wonder if we resisted the idea of Jaden Daniels largely because, or partly because, he so resembled Justin Fields in terms of a skill set.
It's a very good question. The other element of that is, let's say they didn't trade the pick to Carolina and they did hang on to it. Would we get the same pushback from C.J. Stroud because of the same reason? In other words, would he be considered, well, you already have a guy from Ohio State and this guy played ahead of him, whatever,
right?
As opposed to the guy from Alabama? That it's just a weird dynamic of taking a guy from the same school who were on the same team.
All those things factor in when you're evaluating quarterbacks. Play. They do. Yeah. The good news for the Bears, it appears they won't have to go through this process again for a very long time.
Let's hope.
Because they got their guy.
Yeah,
and you know what? The Washington Commanders, they got their guy too. Two things can be true.
Yeah.
Both quarterbacks fit very well and have made a transition rather seamlessly into the NFL, and they're going to be around for a long time, competing with each other, being compared to each other, and that's the fun part. One day, maybe the next time these two guys play against each other, if they indeed meet on Sunday, will be in the playoffs. Playoff matchup, Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams.
Not this year.
Maybe.
Okay.
Look, if they've got four teams from the NFC North going to the playoffs, as it would appear people are talking about, you could envision that happening. You could envision the Commanders winning that division. It's there for the taking.
I thought you had
Minnesota
falling apart.
I do. I kind of do. And I think last night was the continuation of that. The last 5 days, they lost two games. Vikings are 0-2 since last Saturday.
Yeah, believe it or not, I think they appear to me to be more credible the way they played Detroit and the Rams. I think the Bears were, I was thinking about this watching that game. Boy, are the Bears lucky they caught the Rams when they did.
They did, yeah. I know, because riddle me this, Batman. How do they not give up more than three pressures? They protected Matthew Stafford against Brian Flores' vaunted defense, and they only got to Stafford three times.
I'm just trying to understand what just happened here. I am Batman. You've acknowledged that, and you are the Riddler. Is that what just happened?
I think I might be Robin in that scenario. Don't you remember Riddle Me This, Batman?
I do, okay. But I think it was the Riddler who said that to Batman.
Was it? Okay, am I the Riddler?
So you apparently have named yourself the Riddler.
I don't think I'm the Riddler.
I mean, that's great.
I don't think I'm the Riddler.
I will be the Dark Knight.
I don't think I fit that category. I don't know. I have
everything but the Wayne money.
Bruce Wayne's got some
bucks. I was not to the manor born.
He's a high roller.
But I like the way you term that. I think, David, what's fascinating to me is when I think about Jaden Daniels and how he played and how he looks and everything about him, the only fear you had for him and his style was, is this sustainable in the league? In other words,
yeah,
he's running quite a bit, and he's obviously capable of throwing the football, but he's doing things that are unusual. Can he survive that? And will people somehow get to him? Now, the way he was injured was falling down. It was like he didn't slide, didn't know how to slide, and apparently that's a problem for the young quarterback.
Got to learn that.
Yeah, but
get the slip and slide out, Dan Quinn.
But he hurt himself.
Yeah, I know.
And
it was awkward.
Different than being hurt by anyone. But, you know, when you see exceptional athletes and you just worry about an injury curtailing their career, and it's the sort of thing you worry about. This is not a long-term injury. This is not something that is going to impact his career. He's got a rib. He'll be okay.
He's got a rib.
Yeah.
So we'll get some insight into his availability in this weekend's games. We're talking Nick Allegretti, one of his offensive linemen, at 9:25. Can we get to a couple other things quickly jump around? This weekend is a big one. I wanted to mention this. World Series game one is tonight. I picked Yankees in six. I think you picked Dodgers in...
No, I picked Yankees.
Oh, you picked Yankees. That's right. We had Yankees. Dustin picked the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because the ex-Cub factor, snicker, snicker. Because Mark Pryor sitting there as a pitching coach for the Dodgers, that's not going to be a symbol.
I think the Yankees have better pitching.
Starting pitching, Garrett Cole.
Yeah,
Garrett Cole. So I want to mention this.
I'm not a Garrett Cole guy, but they got...
I don't know why you're not a Garrett Cole guy.
I think he hasn't played particularly well, David. I think he's been... I think he just lost two of the last three games.
I get it. I think he's going to rise to the occasion. So our guy, Ron Coomer, he texts the show with good information I saw yesterday. I wanted to make sure that I remembered this. Did you see the crew chief for the umpiring crew at the World Series is none other than Joliet's very own Mark Carlson?
Oh, great.
Yes. So Mark Carlson is going to be the crew chief for this World Series. Coom thought it was worth mentioning, and I agree with that. That's a really good local connection.
Excellent. That's great.
For a World Series that doesn't have a ton of them. You got Michael Kopech with the Dodgers. You got a bunch of ex-Cubs on the Yankees, notably Anthony Rizzo. And Dustin is very unhappy if Anthony Rizzo celebrates.
Rodon.
Carlos Rodon, sleeper, unsung hero.
What do I got to do to get you to mention the guy?
You got
to
clarify this, though. You're happily, proudly mentioning Carlos Rodon. If I mention Michael Kopech, you cringe and throw things.
Well, you got to admit that, you know, they made a decision to give up on Rodon. That's their problem.
Right.
Kopech, they traded for like a bag of balls or like a warm six pack or something. It was awful.
He was part of the deal they got very little in return.
No.
And the Dodgers got Tommy Edman, NLCS MVP, and Michael Kopech, the guy who started the game that they
He'll
ended up winning.
He'll probably start a World Series game.
The pennant.
I said that at the beginning of the year.
Which game is he scheduled to start?
I think it's the fourth.
It's going to be Flaherty tonight. They're going to have Walker Buehler game two. Could be three or four for Kopech.
Yeah. Three or four. I think it's four. Let me ask something. Who's going to watch this thing?
Everybody.
Everybody. Now we got to have a conversation.
Everybody's watching this.
So the record, the last like big crowd at a World Series was the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
23 million people watched.
Okay.
A game in the series.
That was history.
Okay. You're not going to get, you know, I guess what I'm saying is 100 million people plus will watch the Super Bowl. Why? Because... obviously, we're watching it. We're the you know, sports people. We are committed fully to making sure we see all this stuff. But the general fan will watch to see the commercials or the halftime act, and people will have parties. You get 100 million people watching the Super Bowl because people like to watch Super Bowl. I don't think it's necessarily football fans, but it becomes an event.
Casual fans.
There is no casual fan watching the World Series.
I disagree with
that. There might be a New Yorker or someone in L.A., but I'm telling you, the numbers will reflect that football is king and baseball is secondary.
Okay, nobody's picking on your beloved football. Nobody's saying...
Bernstein.
I love football.
Oh, no, I'm
sorry. That's the wrong guy.
Wrong guy again.
You know, I love football. I am Mr. Meathead football guy.
But I would say that if I had a choice, I think I might watch a regular season NFL game over the World Series. I will watch everything because I don't have a choice. I am contractually obliged to watch it all, and I'll be watching tonight and tomorrow and forever.
So let's look at this head-to-head. Sunday night we're talking is what we're talking about, really, right?
They got no chance of...
So Sunday night...
They're not
going to
beat the NFL.
They're not going to beat the NFL.
No chance.
I would agree with that, but I do think you're going to pull in some casual viewers. You're going to benefit from the population in both New York and L.A. This is a programmer's dream matchup in the World Series, and I think that you will exceed 20 million per game.
I think it was New Orleans against Denver that played on Thursday Night Football like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and that was, you know, that's a game Al would complain about. And on Amazon Prime, they managed to get 20 million people.
A bad NFL matchup will draw more people than a great
Who's watching the World Series over a bad NFL? And I know that sounds bad. I get it. There is New York against L.A., and this
but
let me tell you this. There are people that hate the Yankees.
I get it.
And there are people that hate the Dodgers.
And they're watching because they hate them so much they can't look away.
And there are people that won't watch because
it's like people listen to
the
show.
The most money.
They hate us both, but they can't stop listening.
That's really our draw.
I know what you're saying, though, because it's a good point. I just think that you concede certain things when you are in any other sport except for the NFL. We're a nation addicted to football. And the number one show every week, regardless of what else is on, is going to be Sunday Night Football.
Totally true.
People are going to stare and listen and watch, and they're going to appreciate Carrie Underwood and all she brings to the table. I think that's a given. But in that context, other sports can still draw record audiences that aren't going to measure up maybe to the NFL competition. But relative to what else they have had in the past, this is going to be a record-breaking World Series draw, I think, from a television standpoint.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Dustin?
Do you think so?
I think it has some obstacles.
Yeah, I think it has obstacles.
You're playing Friday and Saturday night, two terrible television nights. Now, Saturday, the college football game is not big time, so they could win that game. They're also playing Monday night. So now you got to go against football again.
You got to go against the Manning cast
and
with
Friday.
Bill Belichick.
Stop with that. David,
what is tonight? What is tonight?
It's Friday night.
Friday night lights. It's the last regular season game in the state of Illinois ahead of the playoffs. Week 9.
Same as Indiana, number one North Jetson.
So I'm just saying. So you know, it should. These are things
people
that
are going to stay at home.
I hear
in North
you. I hear
to
you.
Watch
right.
the.
No,
Yankees.
They're not.
Okay.
No, they're not. Last one.
I want to clarify.
No, they're not. They're all going to be at. Okay, that's a good point, guys. Okay.
I'm just saying, as far as most watched ever. I mean, there's interest. Like I am planning my night around it. I will also fire up the DVR.
Yeah.
Right. To recap, but
of course,
I'm not going to not. Here's the thing. I'm not going to not do something. Obviously, I shouldn't be doing anything based on my voice.
Yeah, have some tea, man.
Yeah, just why do you keep asking him questions?
I'm sorry.
Brandon, how you doing, buddy? He just blew me a kiss.
Brandon,
Did you see him?
He blew me a kiss. I thought it was me. No, wait. He's blowing his daughter a kiss.
I was blowing my daughter a kiss. I wasn't blowing you guys a kiss.
You confused me because I was feeling a little... I had already contacted HR.
That was a sweet moment earlier in the show. We were on our simulcast with the Chicago Sports Network. And Brandon's daughter, Isabella, was watching.
She's 5, Brandon, is that right?
Yeah, she's 5.
And Brandon knew that she was watching, so he blew her a kiss.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
But we have like a confused audience and confused hosts.
Look, he's blowing Dustin a kiss. They must really get along.
I believe he's the first man ever to do that.
Get well soon, Dustin.
Hello, Dustin. Mwah. Chef's kiss.
Mwah. Dustin, that was a great call screen. Mwah. That was a great guest you booked. Mwah.
He did book a great guest.
He
Nick Allegretti. We're going to talk to Nick next. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Because riddle me this, Batman.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. My brother from Chi-Town, Frankfort, Illinois' finest.
Okay. And Holmes will keep it himself for the moment and then throw for a touchdown. And there is Allegretti, who comes in and lines up as an eligible receiver.
There we go.
Lincoln Way East High School.
Holy cow.
Nick Allegretti. That's right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wow, you want to talk about the man of the hour. We have so much to talk to Nick Allegretti about. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Lincoln Way East has a huge game tonight, last game of the season, a big one. And I believe the Illini are crossing the continent to play a big game.
That's a big one
tomorrow. And oh, by the way, I'm pretty sure that the Bears head to Washington to play a hometown guy with the hometown team. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Well, it's great to catch up with you, and I know you got a lot going on with all of your various schools and professional teams, etc. How you feeling physically, buddy? How you doing? You played the Super Bowl. It was incredible, your performance, what you went through, and how well you played.
And which one of your three Super Bowl rings is your favorite?
definitely the last one to answer that. And then, yeah, no, body's feeling pretty good. Getting into a rhythm, about it's week 8, you know, body starts to, you know, get used to the bumps and bruises, so we're doing good.
Well, we're not going to ask you about the White Sox and Fetcher Fear.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, I know.
Unless you want to tell us who you want to be the next manager.
There you go.
What do you think?
I'll stay away from that. No positive comments there.
All right, we'll stay with the easy questions then. What quarterback will you be protecting on Sunday?
Shoot, we'll see. We will see. But whoever's back there, we're excited about them. I mean, Marcus, Jaden, both incredible leaders, incredible players. So whoever it is, we protect them.
You know a little something about playing in front of great quarterbacks. What's it been like for you having a new quarterback and a kid that has, you know, he's in the MVP conversation, is Jaden Daniels. Just really came in, and you guys haven't looked back.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty special. I mean, he is as mature and professional of a rookie as I've seen. Just loves competing, loves football. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I've obviously been around one of the best, and it's early, but Jaden's looking pretty damn good so far.
Nick, it's been great to follow your career. Obviously, we know we mentioned your high school, then obviously in college, and you had the great stint with the Chiefs. How would you describe your evolution now to where you are on a part of a very good offensive line in Washington? You land there as a free agent. They clearly wanted you and they paid you to come there. I thought the Bears should have shown more interest in you given their situation. What happened in free agency, and how happy are you to be where you are right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously really happy where I'm at. I mean, DQ and AP have been awesome to work for. I mean, what they've done in the, 5-6 months that they've been here, been hired, is incredible. Enjoy playing for them. Yeah, free agency was interesting. You know, obviously loved Kansas City. You know, Chicago is always an option in the mind, but Washington was pretty clear that they wanted me, and had an opportunity to come in and, you know, for the first time in my career, be a day one starter when we started the season. So got a chance to compete for that, won the job, so pretty happy out here.
It's Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Nick Allegretti, the fine guard from the Washington Commanders. And obviously with the Bears coming out there, I'm sure you're watching all the tape and everything else. You probably follow the team anyway. What are your thoughts on the guys you're seeing on the Bears? What does their defensive line offer, and how do you break down your particular challenge this week?
Yeah, I mean, their defense is playing well. They play hard, physical. I think Billings, their nose guard on the inside, does not get the credit he deserves. Nose guards don't typically get a lot of credit, but it's playing some really good football. And then, obviously, Montez was out here in the past, so the guys know a lot about him, but incredible pass rusher. So, really, their defense is good. It's going to be a challenge. Pretty excited to get out there Sunday.
Nick, you know what a strong start means in Chicago if the Bears are off to one, and they are. But out in Washington, you guys are 5-2, and as every bit as big of a surprise, I think, to a lot of people. Maybe you're not. But what do you think is the biggest reason why you guys are off to the kind of start that you are?
Man, it's been impressive. I think that there is – the guys that are in this locker room that were in the locker rooms prior, they're great guys. They have a lot of pain, a lot of hunger from the prior years, and, you know, they're playing their butt off because of that. And then the guys that they brought in, you know, a lot of guys getting their chance to, you know, solidify their name in the NFL. But really, just a lot of high-energy guys that love football, love competing. I mean, it's been – the locker room is a blast to be in. Great guys, the coaching staff, the management. It is a clear effort to turn around a franchise that had been through some struggles. So it's pretty cool to be out here.
That's great. You know, we think about Washington, and we know, you know, the history of the organization, the Hogs, and – winning Super Bowls, thinking back on like Joe Gibbs, that guy, whenever there was any kind of labor strife or any issue, that guy would wind up winning the Super Bowl, was a heck of a coach. And then you see the Dan Snyder ownership and everything that has happened. And now here are the Washington Commanders turning over a new leaf. You got a heck of a football team. And it's not often that both the Commanders and the Bears are good at the same time. So it's pretty fun that the game is flexed. Does that change the way that you prepare on a Sunday when you're playing in the later window? And I'm sure all your family, everybody here in Chicago will be able to see you. And people around the nation watch that game a lot.
Yeah, I mean, getting the game flexed is I don't want to say it's something that we think about a lot, but, you know, when that happens, you know that there's an understanding that people want to watch us. They want to watch us, the Bears, what we're putting up on tape on the field. So that's pretty exciting. And then, yeah, the 4 o'clock slate is probably my favorite slate. You know, you get to sleep in a little bit more. It's not the night game, so you don't finish the game in your home at 1 a.m. So it's my favorite slate to play by far.
So, Nick, we heard Travis Kelce talk about you in glowing terms coming in, one of his favorite teammates ever. So, just curious, do you keep in touch with him, and what is Taylor Swift really like?
Yeah, I mean, Travis is one of the best teammates I've ever had. Just as impressive of a career as he's had, probably the most selfless player that I've played with. Does not care about accolades. You know, could have went out there week 18 last year, caught a ball, hit 1,000 yards, and wasn't interested in doing it. You know, he is, even though he has the stats, he is so uninterested in that. He just wants to win. So, you know, learned a lot from him, Pat, all those guys over there, and doing my best to try to bring that mentality here.
I'm curious, Nick. So it is a huge game tonight, number 10, Naperville Central at number 1, Lincoln Way East. Will you follow that? Do you have any family might fill you in on the score or whatever? You're a huge name out there, I know. And then how you handle the Illini thing? Are you planning on watching the game? Do you get time to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, so the Illini game will definitely get a chance to watch. Very excited for that. We're going to go take our shot. Love what Whitman and Bielema have going down there. And then East, oh yeah, I mean, I follow every week with East. One of my old teachers from high school. She posts on Facebook every game, every time there's a score change. Mrs. Vandenberg, who I follow for the scores. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm still super close with Z. Texted him today. Palisade, ROC. You know, Lincoln Way East is where I, you know, fell in love with football. So love those guys. Excited for them and excited for them to get a chance to go making the run.
It's great to see, Nick. It really is. And there's a terrific clip on NFL Films that interviewing you, and you talk about how when Lovie Smith, your coach at Illinois, circled your name on a list of guys who could play in the league, and it's dawned on you that you wanted to do that and you actually could. Just curious, knowing what Lovie Smith meant to your career, he's a guy that obviously still means a lot to a lot of people here in Chicago. What's your relationship like with him now? Because he's kept a pretty low profile.
Yeah, you know, he still reached out a few times a year. I mean, absolutely loved playing with him. He was an awesome head coach. I was obviously a huge fan of his growing up. But, you know, taught us how to be professionals, and I think that's one of the reasons I've had the opportunity to continue to play in the league. Is it's hard to show up every day, put the work in every day, take care of off-the-field stuff. And he ran that Illinois program like a pro program, and I think that's been a huge advantage personally for me in my career.
So, Nick, we'll let you go. We know you never played for the Bears, but it's your hometown team. I'm just curious, do you keep an eye on what they're doing? Does your dad tell you what they're doing? Do you care at all, and are you a little fired up to play them?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to track them. You know, I was a fan of theirs for the first 23 years of my life, so I obviously follow them. You know, not too invested in them getting a win this weekend, obviously. But,
good answer.
Definitely appreciate the Bears franchise. That's just like Lincoln Way, East Illinois, the Bears. That's the reason I became a fan of football. Olin Kreutz is the guy that I watched play O-line and was like, yeah, that looks freaking awesome. I want to do that. So absolutely love that franchise and, you know, everything that meant to me.
Hey, Nick, great catching up with you. We wish you all the best. Maybe not your team this weekend, but you personally, we really appreciate your time.
Good luck, Nick, and thanks.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
That is Nick Allegretti. I should have told him, and I feel awkward saying it, but I have like a baseball cap from his Turkey Day game that I wear occasionally when I'm working out.
You do?
How creepy is that?
That's a little bit unusual.
Yeah.
Did not expect that.
The Allegretti family. I think Carl sent some over here, and I grabbed one because it was sharp looking. I feel especially close to
him. What a great professional. What a great young man.
Great guy.
Represents the area well, his high school, his college, and his family, most of all. That's a great thing to see him having success.
So do we have time to, we got the weekend reveal. Let's take a quick listen to what's coming.
Mullen Haw got you ready for Bears Week 8 matchup against the Washington Commanders with experts analysis from former Bears head coach Dave Wannstedt.
They don't change a play. I mean, this is what Mario, this is going back to his, what he did in college, to what he did best. Just not as fast, you know, or probably as accurate. You know, I really haven't studied Marcus Mariota in a couple of years, but as far as offensive philosophy, there ain't going to be much change.
Chicago Bear wide receiver DJ Moore.
I know that I've seen them play. Their defense is flying around and making plays. Definitely looking forward to looking at more film on them and see how that goes.
Bears Tribune beat reporter Dan Wiederer.
I want to see Matt continue to push things forward, to continue to be involved in the oversight and development of Caleb and see that continue to progress. And really just continue to climb the staircase.
BetMGM Hawks great Chris Chelios.
Two young quarterbacks, but we're on a roll. So I know they're on the road. You know, Guardians, like I said, that young quarterback, I think he's hurt. Bears win.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales.
There's no moment, I believe, that's going to be too big for Caleb Williams. Having been around him, his level of accountability, and his fixation on improving his mistakes over his achievements, is to me what's going to keep him on the upward trajectory.
Nick Costas.
This will be maybe the first time this year I've said this. I love the Bears this weekend, no matter who plays quarterback for Washington. So let's talk quickly through a couple betting scenarios for the game. If the Bears know Mariota's playing and have a full week to prepare for him. So if it's Mariota and you can lay 2.5 with Chicago, I'd even lay 3 with the Bears on the road if Marcus Mariota plays. And if Jaden Daniels plays, Washington will get bet. Maybe this game closes a pick 'em. I'd still bet the Bears at that point.
Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger.
They rebuilt their offensive line. Tyler Biadasz came from Dallas. He's played great, but he's a good player. Nick Allegretti came from Kansas City. They rotate the left tackle. John Coleman along with Big Luke over there at left tackle. But they've been very good. And Cliff is an excellent play caller. The quarterback is going to be a part of the run game, whether it's Jaden or whether it's Mariota.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat reporter Brad Biggs.
Their defensive unit for the Bears is the best outfit that's going to be of the four that's going to be on the field on Sunday afternoon. And I think it's good enough to be the difference. I think the Bears win the ballgame 27-20.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
Remember, they lost Jonathan Allen on the defensive line a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not enough people are making a big enough deal about that loss to Washington. So I'm leaning to the Bears. I got a feeling that it probably continues to climb once Daniels is ruled out, should he be ruled out. So if you lock in the three now, I don't think it's the end of the world. We're not getting the best of it, but a smaller play on Chicago.
Mark Grody.
Just like to point out again, as I always do, I have been perfect so far, and so far I have released my pick each and every week exclusively on the Mully and Haw show. Pretty convinced that Marcus Mariota is going to be the quarterback in this game. He's a backup quarterback in the NFL, and I know he's got a week to prepare, but the Bears will have had a week to prepare for him as well. I think the Bears do a number on Mariota this week, and the Bears do get the win to improve to 5-2.
Can the Bears win against the Washington Commanders? Mully and Haw and your reactions to the Bears' upcoming matchup on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
Mully and Haw, thank you so much, Brandon.
Nice job, Brandon.
Great stuff, no question.
So, our predictions revisited. I said 27-23 Bears over Commanders.
Yes. I said 24-20 Commanders over Bears.
Dustin?
But I have.
That's right. You had the right to rescind.
Because I've got the quarterback started.
Okay. All right. Dustin?
I believe I had the same score as Mully, but I had the Bears winning instead of the Commanders.
Brandon, let's get you on the record.
I wrote it down before you even said it. I have 27-23 Bears. So I got the exact same thing as you, David.
I don't mind being on the same page as you. I'm glad.
I'm nervous.
I'm glad you're all happy.
See, we're all on the same page.
We're all wrong together.
You have the right to rescind.
I reserve the right
to rescind. Yes, I know. Because you've got the pregame show.
I do.
And
I will be making a selection before the pregame show is over.
People want to tune in Sunday, 12 to 3, your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on The Score, presented by Aurelio's, Olin Cruz, Patrick Manley, and Mully. Get you set for the game, and then immediately following the game, instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it right here on The Score and the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. Haven't talked to those guys in a couple weeks. Can't wait to get Pat's take on the long snapper stuff. It's going to be very amusing.
It will be amusing.
Just because of the people involved.
And why didn't he ever play tight end in a pinch?
We've got. Yeah, exactly. He actually did. He has a very funny story about that. I think he. We'll get to that. I'll tell you about it in the break because we got to get to Marshall Harris and Dan Bernstein next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.